Hey, hey, hey. Welcome, everybody, young and old, to your practical station, Adventist World Radio. I'm your host for today, Dumisani Mfune, and I'll be with you for the next 30 or so minutes. Sit back and enjoy what I've prepared for you. But beyond just enjoying it, I hope that you will be truly blessed. I have a lot for you today. We're going to hear from Pastor Nhlanhla, and he'll be preaching from the book of Matthew. But beyond that, we'll also continue in a discussion talking about the dangers of smoking. Cigarette smoking is a growing health concern. If you are addicted to cigarettes, do not worry. We're going to give you tips that will help you break the habit. Ah, there is so much. But before we go any further, let us ponder for a moment and talk about our children. Right now in Practical Family, we have Dr. Mfune. I hope you guys enjoy this.
Noah and his wife saw to it that all their children were saved into the ark. And naturally, the $1 million question which comes into the mind of any parent is, how did Noah and his wife do it? And in such a terrible environment. In an attempt to answer this question, I'll begin by telling you about the first time I flew. After getting settled in my seat on board the aeroplane, I heard the safety instructions coming over the PA system. At one stage, I heard these words: make sure that your oxygen mask is safely secured before helping children and others around you. At first, this puzzled me, owing to the fact that when there's danger, the natural instinct of responsible and loving parents is to make sure that their children are safe. But when I later processed this in my mind, it dawned on me why this was important. Parents should have oxygen masks first, to be sure that they themselves are secure in order to be able to help their children. If they don't make sure of this, the parents plus the children whom they are trying to help could die. And to avoid this chain of tragedies, the parent or the helper's safety must first be secured. While selfishness is not regarded as a virtue to be encouraged, in this aeroplane situation, me first is the right thing to do. When it comes to parenting, spiritual selfishness is the right thing to do. Unless God intervenes in his own way, parents cannot impart spirituality to their children if they themselves don't possess it. And by the way, what is spirituality? When you say that somebody is spiritual, what exactly are we talking about? I believe we mean that the person is filled with the Holy Spirit. Is it possible for parents to be spiritual when everything around them is evil? To answer this question, we'll refer again to Luke 17, verses 26 and 27. And as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be also in the day of the Son of Man. They ate, they drank, they married wives, and the flood came and destroyed them all. And if you go to Genesis 6, verses 11 and 12, you will notice that the Bible talks of the earth being filled with violence and corruption. Genesis 6, verses 5 says that mankind's wickedness was great, and every intent and thoughts of his heart were only evil continuously. As we have already observed, many times when we read this passage, we focus on the negatives. They ate, they drank, they married wives, and were given in marriage. But there is another positive thing about this text for parents. Genesis 6 verses 9 says something worth noting. This passage recalls that Noah was a just man, perfect in his generation, and Noah walked with God. Even in this terribly wicked environment, they were just and righteous parents. when the thoughts of people dwelt on evil continuously, when the earth was filled with violence and corruption, they were parents who were filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, notice again what the passage says. As it was in the days of Noah. We can conclude that if Noah was just man and walked with God, when everything was evil around him, when every thought evil continuously, Noah and his wife dwelt on the thought of God. As it was in the days of Noah. If they, fellow parents, with us on this earth, were able to do it, then we parents living today, living the same kind of environment, can also be spiritual when everything around us is evil. Noah and his wife were deeply spiritual people. And this leads us to our next question. How did Noah and his wife maintain spirituality under such adverse circumstances? The answer is in Genesis 6 verses 9. Noah walked with God. As parents parenting our children for heaven, let us learn to walk with God too. You can read more about these important issues in my book, Parenting for Heaven.
That was Dr. Mfune sharing some practical tips on how we can raise children. He mentioned a book. If you want a copy of that book, write into the station and I'll tell you how you can get a copy of it. There is a lot of information in there that you will want to make sure you have ready access to whenever you need it. Right now, let us consider our health. It's time for practical health. And yesterday we talked about smoking. We want to continue talking about smoking. It is a growing health problem, and it seems younger and younger people are smoking. So we want you guys to understand the dangers. Some people would tell you it's cool, but it really damages your health. So right now we have Larry on Practical Health.
Imagine a cowboy relaxing near his horse. He's rugged, yet handsome. He's fit, strong, and smoking a cigarette. The implied message is that you too can be like this cowboy, if you will just come to Marlboro Country and light up that cigarette. But what is the truth about smoking and tobacco use? Tobacco is a plant with large leaves that are dried and processed for the making of cigarettes. When smoked, tobacco stimulates the nervous system, irritates lung tissue, constricts blood vessels, and elevates the heart rate and blood pressure. It also diminishes one's taste and smell, stains the teeth while causing bad breath, and makes everything about you reek of smoke. Tobacco is loaded with harmful and addictive substances. In fact, it is the most addictive of all drugs. It stimulates the same areas of the brain as cocaine and amphetamines. Of the people who use tobacco products, more than 95% are addicted. Tobacco smoke contains more than 4,000 chemicals, 2,000 of which are poisonous, and at least 43 are known to cause cancer. Deadly chemicals in tobacco smoke include nicotine, coal tars, carbon monoxide, cyanide, arsenic, DDT, and ammonia. There are good reasons to quit smoking. There are numerous diseases and health problems related to smoking. Some of these include: 1. It is well known today that smokers are more likely to develop lung cancer than non-smokers. 2. Smoking contributes to heart conditions. It increases fatty acids in the blood. Smoking also raises the blood pressure, setting the stage for a heart attack or stroke. 3. There is a high incidence of cancers of the mouth, throat, and tongue among the smoking population. Also, there is evidence that diabetes and cataracts are more common among smokers. 4. The poisons found in tobacco increase stomach acid and slow down digestion. This can increase the chances of colon cancer. 5. One of the worst conditions caused by smoking is emphysema, where the lungs are actually destroyed by smoking. The victims of emphysema have a sensation of feeling continually smothered. There is no known cure for emphysema. The best treatment for this disease is to stop smoking immediately. The World Health Organization, WHO, estimates that there are 1.1 billion adult smokers, age 15 and older, worldwide. Cigarette smoking is even prevalent in some of the most isolated areas of the world. There are 4.9 million deaths a year caused by tobacco use. Smoking and secondhand smoke kill more people every year than AIDS, alcohol and drug abuse, car crashes, murders, suicides, and fires combined. There are good reasons to quit smoking. Every cigarette you smoke takes away 7 minutes of your life. That may not seem like much, except when you consider that for those who smoke a pack of cigarettes 20 a day, they lose 2 hours and 20 minutes of their life. Over a week's time, that is 16 hours and 20 minutes. That's over 849 hours a year. All of this means that if you smoke a pack of cigarettes a day for 1 year, you will lose over 35 days of your life. That's a high price to pay. Many smokers do not realize the danger that tobacco smoke creates for others. Non-smokers who involuntarily inhale secondhand smoke are at risk to develop lung cancer and other smokers' disease. Especially at risk are children who must breathe the lethal air of their smoking parents. Children who are around smoking parents suffer more severe asthma and an increased number of colds and ear infections. Also, sudden infant death syndrome is more likely to occur. Secondhand smoke in the workplace is another area that poses a great risk. The Journal of the American Medical Association reports that working with people who smoke in the office is as bad as living with a smoker and may be worse. Researchers at the University of Massachusetts tested air sample at 25 companies where smoking was allowed. Nicotine levels averaged 8.6 micrograms per cubic meter as compared to 0.3 micrograms in non-smoking offices. Experts say 6.8 micrograms poses a significant risk. Tobacco companies spend millions of dollars every year to convince women that smoking makes them more sophisticated. As a result, it is estimated that globally 12% of all women smoke. Now new female health problems are surfacing. Lung cancer is fast surpassing breast cancer as the leading cause of cancer among women. And the longer a woman smokes, the greater the risk of developing breast cancer. Also, the risk of cervical cancer is much greater for a smoker compared to a non-smoker. You tell me, does a woman really look sophisticated when she smokes? Women who are pregnant need to quit smoking. Their smoking harms their baby. They also need to be in a smoke-free environment, including their own home. Studies have shown that non-smoking expecting mothers who are exposed to secondhand tobacco smoke put their newborns at greater risk for a miscarriage or stillborn birth, a premature birth, low birth weight, growth retardation while developing in the womb, and various birth defects. As long-time smokers die off, the tobacco companies realize their future depends upon enticing new smokers. Thus, they focus much of their advertising and promotions in aggressively targeting children and youth. And at their experimental stage in life, the youth are easily exploited, being too young to realize the terrible consequences of their decision to use tobacco. So for the health and longevity of your children, do all you can to protect them from tobacco. It is easier for them not to start smoking than it is trying to quit later in life. The largest preventable cause of adult deaths in the world today is the use of tobacco. There is no safe tobacco product. The use of any tobacco product can cause cancer and other health problems. Therefore, if you are a smoker, Quitting smoking is the most important step you can take to improve your health and live longer. It is important to know that ceasing tobacco use at any point in your life provides you with both immediate and long-term benefits to your health. Make your decision to stop smoking today. Perhaps you have tried to stop smoking before and haven't succeeded. This is common for many smokers who eventually quit. So don't be discouraged and feel there is no hope for you. Here are some practical tips to make quitting easier for you. Number one, ask God to give you the power you need. Claim His promise, such as Philippians 4 verse 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Or 1 Corinthians 10 verse 13, no temptation has overtaken you except God is faithful, who will also make the way of escape. Number two, get rid of all your cigarettes, lighters, and other smoking paraphernalia. Number three, begin a regular exercise program. Morning is best. Number four, drink at least 8 glasses of water every day. Avoid alcohol, coffee, tea, and cola beverages, which are also addictive in nature. Number five, let others know you have quit smoking. Most people will support you. Find a supportive friend and talk to that person often during the first few days. Number six, a positive attitude will help you through the tough times. Daily reflect upon the positive aspects of quitting. The health benefits for you and your family, the money you are saving, how much you like yourself as a non-smoker, and the good example you set for others. Remember, it is your choice to quit smoking. So whenever you feel the urge to smoke, you can repeat the words, I choose not to smoke. And no matter what your age or how many years you have smoked, quitting the habit provides you both immediate and long-term benefits. There are many good reasons to quit smoking. No buts about it. Make your decision to stop today.
You're listening to Practical Living right here on your practical station, Adventist World Radio. That was Larry sharing the dangers of smoking and encouraging us that we all, if we're caught in that bad habit, can make a change. It's not easy, but there is a way. There's someone who can truly help you. Later on in the program, I'll give you who that person is. Just stick around. Right now, we have Pastor Nsansha, and he's going to share from the book of Matthew. So if you have your Bibles nearby, you can follow along. It's now time for Practical Bible.
Greetings once more to the faithful listeners of the Adventist World Radio. Let us just close our eyes and invite God to be with us. Father God, we thank you, glory and honor to your name. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Today's theme, taken from the book of Matthew, chapter 9, verse 9, is simply entitled, Behold, He Saw Me. There are many things in life that we experience and many people that we are with when we experience those things. But funny enough, few of those people see us while we are in those things. Very few people can make a separation between us and things. Many of the people who have seen you did not see you. They were merely looking at things and you happened to be part of them. But how many people can see you independent of what comes with you? How many people can separate you from what comes with you? How many people can still wake up in the morning and acknowledge you outside of what comes with you? How many of your friends can give you a place to sleep when you have lost your mansion? How many of your friends or your brothers can give you a ride to church when the bank has sadly repossessed your car? And so we go to the book of Matthew to just highlight the grace and the precious love of Jesus and how he works with us. The book of Matthew chapter 9, beginning from verse 9. My favorite text, it simply says, as Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. Follow me, he told him, and Matthew got up and followed him. Let us take it from the top once more. As Jesus, Savior, went on from there, activity, he saw, sight, a man, creation, named Matthew, identity, sitting, position, at the tax collector's booth, geography. Now the Bible says, as Jesus went on from there, he saw a man. Funny enough, there were other people there, but we are not told that they saw Matthew. How many of the people that we live with fail to see us beyond what comes with us? And one of the things that I love about my Savior is that he's able to see me independent of my qualifications. He's able to see me independent of my experience. He's able to see me independent of my talents and gifts. And so Jesus comes from wherever he was journeying from, and the first thing that he sees is a man. Notice how the Bible does not say, and Jesus saw a tax collector, though Matthew was one. But Jesus saw a man who happened to be a tax collector. Jesus saw the humanity of Matthew outside of his profession. And so many of us fall into this tendency of defining ourselves on the basis of what is on us rather than in us. And so when Jesus looks at Matthew, he looks at a need that tax has not provided. He looks at a void that Matthew's high office in governance has failed to provide. The Bible says, as Jesus went from there, he saw a man named Matthew. Now, funny enough, the Bible says the man was sitting at the tax collector's booth. How many of us in our professions, no matter how high and no matter how noble, are sitting? Sitting in professions that are taking us further away from our purpose and our divine destiny. The Bible does not say, and Matthew was standing, but he was sitting, as insinuating a state of comfort. How many of us have grown roots from our trees, deeply embedded in professions that have made us grow cold to the word of God? The Bible says he was sitting at the tax collector's booth. But beyond that, there's a wonderful call that Jesus gives to Matthew. And he says, follow me. And Matthew got up and followed him. Now notice how Matthew could not have followed Jesus without first getting up. If the Bible says that he was sitting, he first had to get up. And one does not get up unless they are now sick and tired of sitting down. When will you reach a point in your life, in your walk with God, where you are tired of sitting on what is familiar? When you get tired of what is common? When you get tired of your qualifications and your professions, and you begin to see yourself outside, or rather beyond and above, the things that the world puts as great and noble. Verse 10, the Bible says, while Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. Now, I want to be very brave here and say, the tax collectors and the sinners, I say sinners in brackets, came to Matthew's house not because of what was on the menu, but because of who was guest at the dinner table. Many of the times in life, when God has a divine appointment with us in the cubicles and the centers of our hearts, it is very rare that those things will happen in isolation. Your salvation takes place in the presence of someone else's. As you are saved, your testimony saves the next person. And so while Jesus was having dinner with Matthew, a simple tax collector, that common dinner invites like-minded people. And they find themselves, I'd like to believe, and I want to assume, on a round table where Jesus himself, in his power, begins to have a conversation that takes the form of a sermon. Jesus uses dinner as a sermon series. He uses the furniture of Matthew as a pulpit. The congregation is composed of sinners and like-minded tax collectors. But notice this in conclusion. The Bible says the Pharisees in verse 11 asked, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? And so I'd like to say, in your faith and in your walk with God, if your Christianity is so high that it fails to be relevant to those who are at the bottom, if your dinner is so noble and expensive that it fails to invite those who are needy, those who are rugged, and those who are homeless. You need to go back to the basics and learn from the feet of Jesus. As we close for prayer, I just want to ask a few probing questions, three of them. The first one is this. Are you sitting in your profession when it is not taking you anywhere from what God has called you to be? Question number two, if Jesus says, follow me, you cannot bring the tax booth with you. Do you have the faith to leave what is known to venture into the unknown? Lastly, in conclusion, as you sit down at the feet of Jesus, are you alone or have you invited like-minded patients? Let us close in prayer. Father God, we'd like to thank you, and we ask that you may continue to guide us. In Christ Jesus, we pray. Amen.
That was Pastor Nhlanhla reminding us that God can use us the way we are. The past doesn't matter. He has the capacity to change us. If you want to find out more about this healing power, contact us. Our postal address is Adventist World Radio, P.O. Box 22, Somerset West, South Africa. The postal code is 7129. Our email is awr@sidmedia.org. That's awr@sidmedia.org. Sadly, guys, this is all the time I have for you. But remember, right here on your practical station, we give you practical tips and practical advice that if you follow, through God's help, will help you to be healthy, wealthy, and wise. Until next time, God abundantly bless you.